The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
And welcome to Education America, where we are taking steps to save the classroom so that we can save the country. Come along with us every Saturday night here on AM 1280, The Patriot at 6 o'clock sharp, where K-12 education is the playing field. And as the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, so rightly stated, he said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. I'm Mark Durkin, again joined by my co-host and founder of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom.
Yeah, good evening again, Mark. It's always nice to be with you.
Always nice to be with you as well. And we're very thankful for the guest that we have tonight. We're going to introduce her in just a moment. But first, here in Minnesota, parents are increasingly raising their voices over important issues in K-12 schools. We have covered this at large for a good part of the last 2 years for sure.
Big issue.
And one of those big issues is critical race theory, and that is rapidly permeating education. And just over the last year, the state has released three drafts signaling a hard turn towards CRT as it works to revise the state social studies standards. And this is especially troubling given that Minnesota has one of the widest achievement gaps in the country between white and black students. And as this slide away from a quality education continues to deepen, many grassroots movements, of course, across the state have formed, and they are growing quickly in an effort to stop the slide.
Which is great. Great news on the parent front. Well, one of those groups that is yet to launch very soon is Minnesota Parents Alliance. And Christine Truen is the group's executive director. And she joins us in studio tonight to discuss how Minnesota parents can reclaim our state's schools. Christine, thank you so much for joining us on Education America.
Thank you for having me. I am delighted to be here. And this is my first podcast, so I'm extra excited to be here.
Great.
We are an organization in its infancy. So this is actually the first time I get to talk about it sort of publicly, which is really exciting. So I'm happy to be here and talk all about what we're up to.
Wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Well, let's start by having you tell us a little bit about what the Minnesota Parent Alliance is.
Yeah. So we are a brand new statewide 501c4 organization.
Okay.
And our tagline is Reclaiming Our Schools.
Wow.
So I think that really sort of sets the tone for what we are trying to do.
Yes.
I love that tagline.
This year, but going forward. I think that the K-12 education system in Minnesota is at a crossroads, and I think we've all seen that in a variety of ways, especially for the past 2 years, largely due to distance learning. Parents across the state have been awakened to what and how their children are being taught, and they've started to examine and question how decisions about school policies and curriculum and culture are being made and by whom. And they've reached out to school leadership and they've attended school board meetings. And I think we've all seen a variety of that play out in, you know, our school communities. But in many cases, I think some of these parents have felt, you know, no choice but to unenroll their children. But their concerns aren't being addressed. And they're feeling that their demands aren't being met. And so there needs to be a next step. I think that we see nationally right now that there's something called a parent movement. And, and that's sort of this new phenomenon that has kind of emerged onto both, you know, here we see it in Minnesota, but we see it on the national stage as well.
And absolutely.
So I think that, you know, our organization is coming into a place right now where there are a lot of parents that are now engaged. They're paying attention, but they need some structure and some organization around this movement to figure out what is that next step that they can take to reclaim their schools.
Okay. That's great. Okay. Great. We're really excited. I mean, as you say, this is a national movement as well now that we're seeing parents enter into, but they need organization, don't they?
Yes, they do. And I think mostly they need education and advocacy. I think that parents are such, they're the ultimate advocates for their own children, but there needs to be advocates for the parents. And I think parents are looking to see who is supporting us, who's listening to us, and, you know, who is there for us right now. And so I think there's a place for this to emerge, I think, in our state for sure.
Yeah.
with the launch of this alliance, is this involved at all with the Center of American Experiment?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I guess, you know, a little bit more about how I came into this. I use the term just a parent a lot, and I don't like it, actually. I think that just a parent is becoming more and more. We're wearing a lot of hats.
Qualifications, yes.
But, you know, I am just a parent. I have young children, and I was watching what was happening in my home district. I live in the West Metro of the Twin Cities, and particularly over the last year, we had some school board elections last year, and we're watching these really brave parents, you know, step forward and try to run, which in, you know, a very challenging environment.
Yes.
Year for sure. You know, and for a variety of reasons, they weren't getting traction. You know, these are parents that don't have political experience. They don't really know how to campaign. It's a very short campaign time for school board races. If you're going to file in August and you have voters that are, you know, September, I think 23rd is our deadline this year. It's not a lot of time to get your message out effectively.
And you're also going up against union backing.
They are.
Backed other candidates.
Yes, they are. And so I think that, you know, there wasn't a lot of organization going into what was going on last year. Everybody was kind of like trying to build the plane as they flew it. And you know, since myself and another parent were watching this play out, we're exchanging text messages, you know, in the wee hours saying, what's going to happen? How can we help these parents? We saw it happen in our district, but also surrounding districts. And then it started to, you know, sort of register that, wait a minute, like, the same thing is happening in every district across the state. And, you know, is there some sort of efficiency that can be created? And so we myself and another parent kind of put together a pack, which, again, we are just parents. I use that term all the time. And it's like we're navigating how to set up a pack and we're doing all this, you know, research and work. And it was effective. The model was effective. And what we realized is that we need to take it a step further. There's got to be some other larger mechanism that we can help provide the support that parents need, particularly in the arena of the school board races, because, you know, this is a big year, I think, for Minnesota. And so we have an opportunity, I think, to provide some real education and training and support to parents who are thinking about taking that next step and getting involved in their district. So that is one of the reasons that this organization emerged. And so I had gone to Washington post-election. So we didn't see as many wins as we had hoped across the metro area last year. And I partnered with Parents Defending Education, and they had done some really great work in bringing people across the country together to talk about, you know, what's working and what are some strategies that we can use. And coming out of that, I realized when I came back here to Minnesota that Minnesota needs a C4. We need a mechanism for education and advocacy for parents. And so I reached out to the center. They are fantastic and have been doing so much good work about, you know, really digging into policy research. That's what they do. And I think few organizations have paid attention to education the way that the center has.
Absolutely.
And so they were a natural partner to reach out to when I knew that we needed support for this C4. And so they heard it loud and clear and said that they're, you know, they agree that there is a place for this. So they've been a great partner in this journey with us. But we are our own entity. And so
That's interesting. You know, I did not know that.
Yeah,
actually.
Though we partner with the center on certain things, we are our own organization. So our C4 is Minnesota Parents Alliance, and we like to say that I think where we get our oomph is that we're parent-powered and we're parent-led. I'm the executive director, and I am just a parent, and we have a big steering committee of just parents, but they represent districts across the state, and they're really locking arms to work with partner organizations like the center and many, many other organizations that we have across the state that care about education issues. And I think that good things happen when you start connecting the dots. And I think that's really where we missed last year, is that parents tend to talk a lot in their own hyper-local, you know, school community, their own district. And every district has, like, a Facebook group of concerned parents of district,
it's
whatever,
like
whatever.
These dark lines between districts, and they don't cross.
And you see is that you have these parents that are so focused in their own district and navigating, you know, a really specific issue. If they would just do some cross-district communication, they might find out that 100 miles down the road, there's a district that's dealing with almost the exact same thing. And so we're really trying to create some synergy there with connecting parent groups together.
Power in numbers.
Yes, there is such power in numbers. Say, before we go on, can you just distinguish for our audience? Not everybody understands the difference between a C3 and a C4.
Yeah.
And you are specifically a C4.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, we are. So I think most people say I'm a 501c3 is the term that most people are more familiar with. And that's a nonprofit organization. C4s are a nonprofit as well, but the distinction is that they will say a C4 is a social welfare-minded organization. So we care about a particular issue. And the benefit to having it structured as a C4 is that most of the work that we do is education in nature. So we're providing a lot of education and resources to parents. But there is an element of politics that kind of it can be inserted into the
sure.
C4. And so for us, that looks a lot like getting involved with school board issues.
So because of the school board elections that you want to get involved in, that's why the C4 versus the C3.
And at this time, I think there's so much going on at the legislative level in Minnesota. There's a lot of discussion about curriculum transparency and school choice. And certainly those are issues that we care about as well. But I think right now our immediate focus is really providing the support to those parents that are taking that first step into getting involved in their district. And that looks a lot this year like really paying attention to the school board races and trying to support candidates that are looking for that training and sort of a good background to get started.
So how are you connecting all these parent groups across the state then? Or how are you connecting with the parents across the state, and then how are you connecting them with each other? You're just getting started. So
we are just getting started.
How you plan to, I guess, is maybe a better question.
Yeah. Well, I will tell everybody, I've been working on this project since November 3rd.
Okay. Very
so
recent.
After the last election, we realized this needed to happen. So slowly over time, we've been connecting some dots, and it's been a real grassroots effort. Kind of the first stop is there are all these parent groups across the state that have kind of coalesced around these issues of, academic achievement is just horrific right now. And so I feel like that is a real unifying issue. And obviously, because of COVID, there are a lot of people that cared about health freedoms, and that sort of started to introduce conversations about parental rights. And so all of these groups tend to have a really similar theme, and you find those in each district. So we've reached out to all the Facebook groups and all of the different ways that we can connect with these parent groups. It's really a lot of word of mouth and some good old-fashioned networking at this point. But I think that going forward, what is I think going to be a really interesting and sort of a game changer is that the Center of the American Experiment last year had developed a private forum called illumined.com.
I remember
that. And you may have talked about this on your show at one point.
Yep.
But so what it is perfect for is the cross-district communication that we talked about. So parents can visit illumined.com and participate in a parent chat forum. And not only can they engage with parents in their district in an uncensored space, which I think is actually a pretty big deal these days,
right,
we're finding increasingly so, but they can also see what other parents are talking about in other districts. I think, with the Facebook groups, people only see what's going on in their district. This is a way to kind of open people's eyes to what's going on across the state. And hopefully try to create some of those relationships. I think that if you see that another district is struggling with an issue and you can reach out to those parents and get their take on how they've navigated it and talk about strategies together, I think that's really effective. So we're hoping to encourage all of the parents that we're connecting with to kind of, they can keep their Facebook group, but also to participate in that forum, because I think that that will actually be a tremendously effective tool moving forward to make sure that everybody is on the same page. We're all aware of the things that we find. I think often you'll have a program or a consultant or something come into your district, and it's sort of this thing that takes everybody by surprise. Nobody knows what it
like
is.
This Everybody's Equity like, Alliance group or something like that.
And so if we can kind of, out those names and expose what those things are, you can do a lot of the legwork for other parents. And so Parents Alliance is really about, let's make this easier on parents. They don't need to start from zero on these issues and, research things from scratch. There are parents that have already probably navigated what you feel is a very unique issue to your district is probably not so unique.
Right.
Yeah.
And you are listening to Education Nation here on AM 1280 The Patriot. We are in discussion tonight with the executive director of the Minnesota Parent Alliance. Her name is Christine Truin. And you just mentioned about exposing some of these things that are going on, calling out names. I mean, what are some other things that parents can do in terms of being proactive in maybe engaging, say, the school districts or even their local legislators to start to push for some of these changes?
Yeah, I guess, for the engagement piece, I mean, the first step is always, have you talked to your kid's teacher? I think that's always such a great starting point. And I want to make clear that our group is, we are so for teachers and we need teachers. I think that so many teachers are, the atmosphere has been really chilled for them to step forward and express their concerns about what they're seeing.
I think saying really chilled is actually an understatement.
It really is. It really, they're terrified, actually.
They are.
And, I get calls almost on the regular or contacts from educators that they feel that they have information that needs to be outed to the parent community and they're not quite sure how to do that. So our Illumined platform is also good for that reason, because it is it provides an anonymous way to share
wonderful.
Your Wonderful. Information.
So I suppose anybody can go on there. Teacher can go on there. Yeah. Students.
Exactly. Even, so we want to say, like, we're the Parents Alliance, but there are a lot of teachers that are also parents.
Yes. Yes.
So we want to make sure that they have that channel of communication to share that. But so that's step one. You know, start developing relationships with your child's teacher, and certainly showing up at the school board meetings and showing up in a constructive way. I think that I also want to make clear that our organization is not the angry mob that's coming to scream at their school board for 3 minutes on a microphone once a month. These are parents that, you know, really want to identify what are the key issues and how can we problem solve, because I think that we sort of reached this, you know, fever pitch, and you were seeing, you know, viral videos of people losing their minds at school board meetings. And though the anger is somewhat justifiable in certain situations, we have to lower the temperature, because I think at this point we've sort of hit a point where we just need to kind of come back and say, we need to make some big, big changes, and that only happens with constructive engagement. So we hope as an organization that we are going to be launching our website in the next couple weeks here, and it'll be minnesotaparents.org.
Minnesota. So spelled out Minnesota.
Minnesotaparents.org.
Okay.
And we hope through our website and through our Illumined tool to provide a variety of educational pieces on a lot of the key issues that parents have questions about. I think last year, you know, CRT became this big buzz term that nobody really had a lot of clarification on.
No, and the school districts would just say, oh, we're not teaching CRT. Yeah. You know, it was easy for them to say we're not teaching CRT. And, and they could kind of say that honestly without really going into detail.
Yeah, what is it? And is it in my school? And when should I be concerned? We're going to hear and see a lot of that with regard to social-emotional learning this year, I'm certain. And I think there's so much confusion about what that is. So that would be an example of an issue that we can provide some quality research to parents, and we hope to do some speaking events and bring in speakers to districts and have parent information nights where parents can really try to get a clear understanding of what these concerns are, and then they can shape their engagement. Because then it's that next step of, you know, is it in my school? What does it look like? Is it a policy? Is it a consultant we've brought in? Is there curriculum? You know, I think that it is so specific district by district, and though there are these common threads, and most districts are navigating social-emotional learning and comprehensive sex ed and CRT issues, they look a little bit different in every district sometimes. So I think that we will be able to sort of customize our response. So we're hoping that parents will reach out to us with their questions. Our steering committee is huge right now. I think we have about 50 members on our steering committee, and they represent parents from nearly every district in the metro and in greater Minnesota. And they're our eyes and ears of what is going on in these districts and where are the questions. What questions can we help these parents answer or provide some more information on? And that's where organizations like the Center can provide some quality research. And I think that there are organizations as well, like FAIR is doing a great job around the issue of CRT and providing also some alternatives, because we want to encourage parents to say, don't just say what you're against, start saying what you're for. And we need to start figuring out what are some alternative curriculum and standards that we can start proposing to start start those conversations.
That's
because it's one thing to say that you're upset with what is, but I think we need to start constructively trying to figure out what comes next.
That's great. Well, you had mentioned earlier that part of being a 501c4 is that there is a political component, and that's largely because of the school board election. So we've talked about this a little bit, but is there anything you want to add about the political nature? You know, how, what, to what extent is the Minnesota Parent Alliance going to be political?
So I believe actually that the answer to is it political is no. And I think the beauty of the parent movement is that it's not political. And technically, neither is the role of the school board. We see parents on all sides of the political spectrum uniting on the common issues of academic achievement and equality and parental rights. And I will often tell people, like, this is not a right and left issue. It really breaks down for parents as a right and wrong issue. And so we are sort of, you know, in an increasingly polarized world, we're starting to see that unity forming around our children and their future. And I think that's really the power of the parent movement right now. And so our organization is certainly partnering with a lot of other organizations that may have a conservative base. But I think that, you know, the parent movement often gets conflated with conservative political efforts. And I think the reality is that, you know, parents are calling for support. And if conservatives are going to answer that call, parents will listen. And, and they're willing to lock arms with nearly anybody who is willing to, you know, walk with them in the alignment of the goals of academic achievement and equality and parental rights. So I think that's kind of where we are as a movement with parents in this state, is that they're almost abandoning, you know, whatever previous political alliances they have, and they are all in and all focused on kids.
On education, which is so important. That's a key thing for people to understand, that a lot of these ideas of CRT and comprehensive sex ed are really not being embraced even by people who would be traditional liberals or traditional Democrats. They care very much about their children's education. They don't want to see AP classes eliminated out of equity reasons, or advanced honors classes being eliminated, or lowering the grading standards. Most parents don't want that, and they are going to prioritize their children, and they do believe that they should have a right to decide what's best for their children, regardless of which side of the aisle they're on.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think that this is really going to capture the large majority of parents as you move forward with this alliance.
Yeah, I will often say, you know, parents are sort of an interesting creature in the political landscape, because they can't be bought and they can't be fought. You know, like, parents don't want this job. We don't want to be professional politicians.
Right.
Like, you know, none of us know how to campaign well, which is why we need to provide some resources around that. But you can't influence them in the same way, I think, as, you know, some other people in the political space. And so they can't be bought, and parents can't be fought. Like, parents will fight to the death for
their
kids. And so good luck trying to fight them.
Just like a mama bear, right?
Yes, exactly. There's a reason why it is called the mama bear movement.
Right.
And they're not going to back down, and they're not going anywhere. I think now that parents have had their eyes open to these issues, they're only becoming more engaged. I think it's really hard to unsee and unhear, I think, what you now know about education. And so I think the movement is only getting larger, because there are more parents that are now, it's like, now you've got me. Now I'm engaged. Yep. Now I have to do something about it.
Yep, exactly.
So let's take into account the vision now that's been cast for the formation of Minnesota Parents Alliance. What will success look like for the organization? We're talking about how they can come together, how can they approach their school boards, but what does success look like?
I think success in the near term, certainly, you know, we have a huge election in November.
Yes.
And so that's a big piece of what we're focusing on, because we know that the real change with a lot of these districts lies in the school board, the composition of the school board. And I think that, you know, we are putting a lot of time and a lot of resources toward trying to support parents that want to get engaged in running for school board. And so I think that success looks a lot like big wins across the state. And that's exciting. And I think that'll be a litmus test a little bit of where parents are finding their success. And so I think that, you know, apart from that, really trying to unite parents. I think that we are still trying to, you know, build this mechanism of communication using the Illumined tool and figuring out where we can provide these resources. So I think success, you know, certainly it looks a lot like, you know, school board member wins, but it also looks like really building our organization into a big, robust community. And also we hope that people will look to Minnesota Parents Alliance for guidance. And, you know, when you talk about legislative issues and you talk about people who are involved in, you know, making decisions about education in our state, we hope that they'll come to us and that we can start conversations with people at that level as well. You know, I think that we hope to endorse candidates. We will endorse candidates as well. And so I think that one area where we can be successful is to say that, you know, people will look to our cues and to our endorsement to understand, you know, who is aligned with their values in their district. And so I think we see a lot of times teachers unions and other organizations will have their kind of slate of endorsed candidates.
Yes.
And a lot of people get a little postcard in their mail that say these are the, you know, typically incumbent candidates.
Yes.
We hope to provide a little bit of a counter to that and say that, you know, these are the parent candidates in your community.
I have always said it doesn't make any sense to me that the union has any right to have any say in these elections, because these are supposed to be parent school boards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the unions represent the teachers. The parents are supposed to be able to represent the students. And so why the unions have been allowed to get involved in school board elections is just beyond me. It just is, to me, beyond the pale. And it's really influenced the outcome of education in the U.S., especially in the last 25 years or so.
Yeah, I use the term big education a lot. And I think that everyone knows what big tech and big pharma is. There's a big education.
Yes,
and that
is
all of entities and organizations and unions and associations and curriculum companies. And I mean, the list goes on and on. But it's a huge ecosystem a multi-billion dollar business of I think, pushing some things that really aren't constructive right now. And I think we're seeing the effects of that with the decline in just academic achievement.
Right.
So
right.
I think that parents are awakening to that. And that's exciting. That's good. That means that we have we have a lot of work to do, but it's good.
Good. So the center is providing, obviously, IlluminEd and some guidance to you. Are there any other resources from the center that you can provide, not just to our listeners, but to the people that you're connecting with across the state?
I wouldn't say specifically from the center, but I do think that our other partner organizations, I'll call them, are other organizations across the state that have done great work. So I think of groups like Child Protection League. I think we get calls all the time recently, very recently. There's been a lot of contact from parents who have questions about, they're hearing this push for, you know, gender identity and sexual orientation conversations in their schools. Child Protection League's been doing that work for a really long time, and they have fantastic resources. So there's no need for us to reinvent the wheel. So often what we will is parents will approach us with a question, and whether the center's done great work on it or Child Protection League or a whole host of other organizations in Minnesota, a lot of what we do is just partnering parents with research and resources that are already in existence.
So basically, contacting you is kind of the first step, and then you can point them in the right direction, into the with the right organization.
And we'll say a lot of you know, usually when people come to us and want to understand a little bit better about how we can support them, our first question is, you know, do you have a race this year or not? A lot of people that have a race, they're going to focus super hard on their school board candidates, but people that don't have a race this year are navigating a whole host of other issues, and it looks a lot like sometimes a data practices request, where it's like, I've never done this before. I'm not an attorney. I don't know what to do. Or my district's not cooperating. Now what? We have some legal counsel that we can pair them with. We have, you know, other resources where if we know what the issue is, we can help.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. Just to kind of conclude here, you know, how can parents connect with you? How can they connect with Minnesota Parents Alliance? We would just hear them to.
Yeah. So, well, we hope to have our website launched soon within the next couple weeks. I just finalized some copy for that. So I'm really excited to be able to launch that publicly. And we will make a more, you know, sort of public press release sort of announcement.
Where can they look for that? Where can they look for that?
They'll see it, I think. I think we'll make it known. But so they can certainly go to minnesotaparents.org in a couple weeks and be able to see that. But our IlluminEd tool is fantastic, and it's up and it's running, and parents can certainly go to IlluminEd right now and set up a profile and start engaging in the parent chat forum. We do have a Facebook page. It's not my favorite vehicle, but it is effective. And so we have a Facebook page. It's Minnesota Parents Alliance. They can find us there. We're on Twitter at MNParentsFTW, so you can find us there as well. And then you can email us. So I think that really the way that we've heard most of what we know about what's going on in the districts is people send us an email and say, here we are at info@minnesotaparents.org.
Okay. info@minnesota, all spelled out, parents.org, all one word. Very good. Christine, this has been very interesting to hear about. Best wishes with your future.
I will do one more quick plug. We have a candidate training on May 7th. So if you are a candidate and you do want some resources, we have a full day of training happening in Minnetonka on May 7th. And you can email us at that address, info@minnesotaparents.org. And we would love to have you.
That's excellent. Well, you are a wonderful representative and executive director, Christine. We wish you the best of luck with all of your efforts. And thank you so much, Mark.
Good to
As
be here
always,
again with you both.
We enjoy being together, and hope our listeners will go and listen to this podcast or other podcasts at savetheclassroom.com, and hear us next week as we hopefully talk with one of our senators to learn a little bit more about what's happening at the legislative level if we can peel them away. Thanks, everyone. Good night.